Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hello, listeners. Brianna Contreras, editor of Managed Healthcare Executive here. In this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite, I spoke with Raman Bastani, CEO of Healthvana. Raman addressed the ongoing issue of underserved communities lacking access to care and shared the efforts made specifically through digital health to help. He also discussed the steps that remain to be taken to improve access to care. Hello, Raman. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. So just to get started, if you can tell our listeners and viewers just about your role and about Healthvana.
Yeah, of course. I'm the CEO of Healthvana, and Healthvana is a patient communication platform that's used by healthcare providers to manage and communicate with their patient populations, almost like what a CRM can be for healthcare providers to help them really engage their patients in a way that not only helps the patients, but also reduces the workload on the staff. And we know how overwhelmed staff are in the US right now.
Oh, of course. I guess how effective is that, especially right now, just with working with your patients?
We think it's pretty effective. I mean, so we started off doing a lot of our work in 2015 around HIV and all things around HIV. And so what we would do in that context is you would digitize the patient experience. So we are really focused on getting the right message to the right patient at the right time. With HIV and HIV related things, the key is to get patients to come back in for quarterly visits. And so we do it in a way where we're communicating with the patient, delivering their test results to them in a way they understand, and then also messaging them saying things like, hey, it's time to come back in. That reduces a lot of the work on the staff to have to, you know, do a lot of the intake paperwork, but also in communicating the test results to the patients. And then finally, in setting the reminders. We actually did a study that will be out next year. We looked at 40,000 HIV positive patients we were working with across 15 states and 60 healthcare providers. What we found was that patients that were using Healthvana were about 7.5 times more likely to come in for that next appointment. And these are folks that are underserved and folks that are experiencing homelessness. So it was really good to show that we can help communicate with these communities in a way that helps them live healthier.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, a big chunk of our conversation today is going to be about, you know, digital health and serving underserved communities. So I guess first, can you just address maybe how Healthvana maybe uses digital health to work with their clients or patients?
Yeah, of course. It's a lot of it is just kind of digitizing that patient experience. One example I'll give is Los Angeles County. I think examples are easier sometimes in describing. A lot of digital health all sounds the same, but we think what differentiates it are outcomes that actually deliver use to both the patient and the provider that's taking care of them. So in LA County, they asked us to jump in and help with COVID-19 a couple of years ago. And what we started doing is delivering hundreds of thousands of test results on behalf of the county in a way that we saw about 97% of patients view their test results on their mobile phone. So when we talk about underrepresented, underserved communities, there's this sense that the digital divide still exists, and that's not true. It's more of the data divide. People have smartphones, even people that are experiencing homelessness in most cases have smartphones. Sometimes they're missing Wi-Fi and or data plans. So what we do at Healthvana is make sure that we're delivering information to patients in a really simple way that might be by text or email. They enter their first name, last name, date of birth, and within about 10 seconds, they have access to their record, and importantly, what to do next. And so the value we delivered there for the county was getting these messages out to people, so reduce their support needs on the county side. It also reduced the number of patients that were coming back for medical records, because a lot of them needed to get back to work at the time. A lot of them needed their vaccination records for different things, work-related. So we were able to do that for millions of people in the county. And then we expanded our work with them as they needed more things. So when Paxlovid came out and COVID antivirals, if you tested positive in certain underrepresented zip codes as determined by the county, you'd say that you've tested positive. Immediately below it, it would say You may be eligible for free treatment delivered to your doorstep. Click here. 40% of people ended up clicking on that button to get treatment. So you are now deploying an intervention where you had free treatment going to people that were most at risk of being hospitalized and at risk for COVID severe complications, in a way that was been it's been tremendously successful. And that's being written up and will be published hopefully by the end of the year, with a study with Stanford, LA County, and Health Monitor.
Got it. Thank you very much. So back to the underserved communities, if you could maybe just address the issue, of underserved communities lacking access to care, and maybe the efforts being made today to help these communities, and more specifically, what is digital health doing to help this issue?
I think digital health can bridge the divide of communicating to those communities in the same way they communicate with everyone else in their lives. It's either on Instagram, it's WhatsApp, it's using their phones for all things. A lot of times you don't have an internet connection at home, so you're relying on your phone as your main source of communicating with people. And just to be super clear, we're the communication platform in between the healthcare provider and the patient population. So we don't pretend to understand what's it's like for patients in, I don't know, New Orleans versus South Florida versus Los Angeles. And we work across 20 plus states. So what we're really doing is amplifying the efforts of that healthcare providing staff that's charged with communicating with those populations. And from there, we're able to give suggestions on ways we've been able to communicate with these populations effectively. But what we describe a lot of times is we make healthcare look a lot more like Instagram than Windows 95. The idea is it just looks like garbage a lot of times and things you don't understand. It's 7 or 10 pages you have to scroll through on your phone. We try to deliver really succinct messages, which is the things patients only care about. And again, the proof for us is the evidence that we've been able to publish and putting out data that this is really working and communicating with people.
Thank you. Now, how many Americans would you say are affected by lack of care?
Yeah, I think one way that we think about it is that 10% of the US population, which is maybe 30 million, 33 million people, accounts for 70% of all healthcare costs. So a lot of those populations are in those underserved communities, have multiple chronic conditions. A part of that cost is actually also end of life. So it's not everyone. It's a population that we really want to focus on because one, they need the help. It's the right thing to do. And two, it actually helps lower costs. It reduces hospitalizations and all the downstream effects we're seeing. For example, we have workforce shortage in the United States, not only in healthcare, but also broadly across the economy. There's a lot of people out because of long COVID. There's a lot of people out because, I mean, currently right now, we're experiencing a surge, unfortunately, of RSV and the flu in some areas. And so any way you can start reduce that by communicating with patients in a way that really helps them understand what they're supposed to do makes a lot of sense. For example, that one that I told you about earlier, stay home, we'll deliver medication to you for free, essentially is what LA County unbelievably innovatively said. And the folks there are really spectacular in the way they've approached problems. And they're the biggest county in the United States with 10 million people. And that's actually bigger than 40 states. So LA County is bigger than 40 states. So it's a really good use case to take a look at what can be done. But in that case, they were able to use telehealth. And by telehealth, I mean actually a telephone, not video. Because when you're sick, you don't really want to see anyone else if you don't have to. But it kept people at home, I guess, is my point. And that means they didn't have to go to a pharmacy to try to pick up a prescription. They didn't have to go to a doctor's office where other people are sick so they could spread the infection. So there's really innovative interventions that make a lot of sense. Also, from a financial standpoint, I think a complex case of COVID in California was about $470,000. But if you were to deploy the intervention of just getting medication to people, it's about 50 all in. So you can see how it makes a lot of sense, both financially, but also it's the right thing to do for those populations.
Right. If you're able to, can you maybe address some digital platforms that have delivered better care?
Yeah, aside from us, one of our favorite companies is one called Same Sky Health. And they promote the ability to reach patients in the way they want to be spoken with. That's going to be in their own language. They cover a lot of different languages and they work with a lot of payers to communicate with those payer populations in certain areas to make sure that those patients understand what's happening in their health. So they're one of our favorite companies. The CEO, Avner Mason, has done an incredible job overall with Same Sky Health and that team, but also is a huge proponent of health equity across the United States. And that's one of our favorite companies.
So obviously there's always room for growth, no matter where you are in healthcare. So I guess what steps are there to still be taken to improve access to care, especially with digital health? And how can they reach more Americans?
Yeah, so using digital health, I think eventually it should just be health. Just like we don't call it online banking, it's just banking, right? So when we get to that point, I think we'll be in a much better place. But I think a lot of this falls upon not necessarily digital health companies and startups as much as it does the established players that represent, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people in the United States. They can deploy digital tools as a complement to what they're doing to really enhance patients' access. And our suggestion, what we do as a company, everyone on our team is passionate. They're incredible. They care deeply about helping patients. And the one question as a company we ask ourselves that we're solving for that's helped us, I think, with our success is the only thing a patient cares about when they're scared, when they're waiting for some test results that might be bad. The only thing that matters is, am I going to be okay? We answer that. We start everything there. I mean, even my shirt, right? It says, think patient. Everything we think about is about the patient. What circumstance are they in? If you want to engage someone, you probably want to start by solving their problems as fast as you can and building that relationship and trust over a period of time. We don't think it's a one-time hit, like tell us everything. It's going to be an established relationship that you might already be under. Let's say it's a large, I don't know, it could be your insurance company, it can be a pharma company, it can be the CVS, Walgreens of the world, it can be anyone. But we think it takes a lot of steps to build that relationship in a way that feels good and actually mimics the kinds of relationships we already have online with places that we do a lot of things like Amazon. The experience is consistent. It's good. It's why we go back to it. So a lot of times we think the best way to engage underserved populations and the entire populations is to build a relationship by delivering good, consistent work and information patients want. So for us, what we do is we're not only going to tell you what the result is as fast as possible. That's part of what we do, but we're also going to tell you what to do next. So if you, because we started off in HIV in our work, we were the first, I think, in the country to start delivering people their chlamydia and gonorrhea test results on their mobile phones or through the internet. That wasn't done for no good reason. They're infections. They're cleared up by antibiotics, but there's stigma around them. So by delivering it, you're reducing some of the stigma. And the first things you see are you've tested positive for chlamydia. Don't worry, this is curable. Here's what to do next. And then you give them the action steps of what to do, whether that's messaging the care providing team, making a phone call, or walking in. And we were published in the American Journal of Public Health because we studied this, and it was a 2-day reduction in the time to treat those patients. That's amazing, especially for a communicable disease. And that reduces the cost and workload for the staff to reach out to every single person. So that's one of the examples we think if you just start with the things that are most urgent, not necessarily things that just help you with billing, but things that actually really solve the patient's situation. We think that will go a long way. And that's what we've seen. And we've now delivered 50 million plus records across 20 states in the US. So it's based off some experience. It's what we've always believed, but now we're able to actually show some real data behind that.
That's amazing to hear. Thank you for sharing that. So I guess where do you see digital health adoption in the next few years, and what results do you expect to see by then as well?
See here, I the area where
Or
I
hope to
wish,
see?
yeah, I was going to say, I've been a little down on digital health with regards to the ability for it to really make an impact on a lot of lives. It's been really challenging. Healthcare doesn't move very fast. The established players don't have the incentive to move as fast, and it's just a lot of work. And there's always the do no harm to patients. So we've looked for a lot of areas where we can kind of thread that needle, where we can be aligned with the healthcare provider, other people that are in that value chain, but always thinking of the patient first. And also as a company, we have to make money. As altruistic as we are, we want to make sure that we can also make money to survive as a company to continue to innovate. Dream case scenario in a few years, one of the things that we're most hopeful for and excited about are digital therapeutics. I don't know how much you know about digital therapeutics, but there's two types that are approved by the FDA. One is a standalone digital therapeutic, which means no longer you're going to take a drug, but you're going to take this digital therapeutic, which may be AR, VR, or an app or something, in place of the drug. And those work in circumstances where maybe drugs aren't as effective. Maybe that's for behavioral issues or different related things like that. We won't be that. We will be a digital companion, so a companion digital therapeutic. So you're prescribed a drug like PrEP. PrEP is a once-a-day pill you can take to prevent you from getting HIV, the same way a woman would take birth control daily, has the same efficacy in the high 90% to prevent an HIV infection, which is remarkable. And we're probably the largest company in the country doing PrEP with technology across the United States. And so what we envision is a digital therapeutic where every time PrEP is prescribed, and if a patient may not be in the best circumstance for adherence, HealthVana is prescribed along with it. So we think there's going to be a lot of digital therapeutics that will, of course, be evidence-based, rigorously studied to show that it can actually impact certain populations. For example, if you are a black man and you have sex with other men, your odds of getting HIV are 1 in 2. Today in the United States, 1 in 2 will get HIV in their lifetime. It's terrifying to say as a statistic. But PrEP can help with that. But the uptake in PrEP among that community hasn't been as strong. So we're working on that now, but we think digital therapeutics can really have an impact. But they are likely where telehealth was 5 years ago, which means people kind of see the benefit, but not really a reimbursement strategy quite yet. And of course, there's more rigor than just telehealth. So we think that's one of the places that's most helpful. But overall, the digitization of healthcare, we think will be good. It'll come in slower steps, and it'll likely be only where there's going to be cost savings at first. And I think a lot of it will be because of the healthcare workforce shortage that we're seeing. You're going to have to innovate using technology to just amplify. The good thing is healthcare is so far behind on just basic technology that you can make those steps to really make an impact so patient care doesn't suffer. And providers actually have a better experience as well because we know there's huge physician burnout in the US.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you. And that's actually all the questions I did have for you. But if there's anything else that you'd like to address that maybe I didn't ask or bring up.
No, I think you covered most of it.
Well, great. I'm glad. Well, Ramen, thank you so much again for your time. I appreciate it. And you definitely educated me a bit more just on the subject and have me
Yeah,
looking
thank you for
forward to a
having me.
lot more. Yeah, no
Yeah,
problem.
absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.